Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
We saw something with the New York Jets that I believe we both loved. Now, when you've talked about the transformation with the Detroit Lions that Aaron Glenn saw up close, I would always add to that conversation saying that, yeah, you know, Dan Campbell and the coaches built a culture, but Brad Holmes hit on so many draft picks of his guys and guys that Dan Campbell would say, you know, this guy loves ball. We love having him here. It was a personality and a talent thing that they were able to build. So the Jets, who I don't know how many times I've had to say, these guys, a lot of these guys have to go because all they know is losing. They've been beaten over the head with losing, 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 losing. And I think a lot of these guys have been overrated to begin with. I mean, we're both on record saying that Sauce Gardner shouldn't have gotten a contract when he got a contract. Why he did, I'm not so sure. He was terrible last year. He was mediocre this year. I mean, Quinnen Williams is ranked, I believe, 90th in quarterback pressures this year and has one sack. Now, I understand he's good against the run, but still. So these guys go. You get a ton of draft capital back. And yes, I know it's not a home run or every single draft pick that you're going to have is going to be a hit. We have seen it so many times. Well, let's not forget, though, that the best players in the NFL are also guys that have been drafted in the first round and second round. So there are a lot of hits out there. But this is, they have now the opportunity they need to build the roster the way that they want to do it. And they got rid of two guys who all they know is losing that have been overrated. I have this morning an A-plus for Darren Mugi with a caveat. Let's see who you pick. But this was an A-plus day for the Jets.
100%. And we talked about this yesterday morning, and as you and I were getting into the arguments about everything going on around Aaron Glenn. But, I mean, they tried to win this year. They went out and they brought in Justin Fields, and they tried to win. They wanted to test the roster. They wanted to see the roster. And you really never know about your team until actual games start. You could see things on the practice field. You could see abilities. You want to see if guys are going to stick their head in there and make a tackle, Deontay Banks. You want to see if guys are actually going to, you know, make plays that, you know, you expect them to make and that you're paying them to make. So, I mean, once you get a handle on your team and your team is 1-7 and you're sitting in a bye and you get a phone call from Chris Ballard, the GM of the Colts, he says, I want Sauce Gardner. I'll give you 2 first-round picks and a wide receiver, and I'll take his entire salary. You're like, done, sold. I mean, these are the things that you need to do. And it's not a, you know, I Sauce was good when he was here. He was a good Jet. He was a solid person. He was a solid citizen. He was a favorite amongst a lot of, you know, young Jet fans. But this is the reality of the business. This is what I talk about being ruthless, although I don't necessarily know that this is all that ruthless, especially because of what the Jets have received in return. So they got the two first-round picks. They got A.D. Mitchell. You know, remember him from a game where he, you know, crossed the goal line and dropped the ball before he crossed the goal line. That's what he's known as. And obviously the NFL memes out there, you know, they were all over it and saying this is such a Jet-esque player or, you know, type of play. And so he's going to fit perfectly, that, you know, all of that crap. But here's the thing, you know, I do believe that Darren Mooji and Aaron Glenn, and Aaron's been saying, like, if you just listen to what people say when they become people in charge, whether it be politicians or whether it be head coaches or managers or general manager, and you just listen to what they're saying, you know what the most important thing in their repertoire is. And in this case, for Aaron Glenn, it's been the culture of the Jets. And I'm not saying that Sauce and Quinnen were bad Jets. They weren't. They were good guys. They were good Jets. But quietly, which I think is also part of this story here, Quinnen Williams asked for a trade 3 different times, and nobody knew about it, which I think is amazing that never really got out there until after the fact. And, you know, by the way, the Jets did right by their players. They sent them to teams that are still in the mix. The Cowboys are still fighting for it. And if I were Quinnen Williams, I'd be stoked because I wouldn't have to pay those New Jersey state taxes that are going to be going up. That's another great thing for him. So I would, you know, now comes the hard part. The hard part is identifying the players that you do want. And the other thing that is going to be good for them is that they'll have a lot of money in free agency available if they want to plug some holes with top tier talent. Now, the other part of all of this is probably not a lot of people going to be talking about, but you know, you do see it on X because players have to put out their points of view, the Jermaine Johnsons of the world, the Brees Halls of the world, that Brees is probably disgusted that he wasn't traded. And Jermaine Johnson lost one of his, you know, best buddies on the team in Quinnen Williams. And, you know, now he feels bad. So you have the morale situation in the building. Jermaine is probably going to get a contract just to, you know, to keep him happy. And to, you know, we'll hear his press conference about how he wants to be a part of the foundation that turns this thing around. You know, that's all predictable. That's all that stuff that's ahead of us. But, yeah, I thought yesterday was an A-plus for them, 100%. They had to do it. And, you know, Jet fans are just going to have to sit through another rebuild. And it actually has worked a few times. They've had some good drafts in the 2000s. And maybe they can have another couple good, really good drafts here over the next 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, this had to happen. I mean, if you really wanted to change the team, this had to happen. And as you mentioned, the hard part is next. And what the Jets need to do, Darren Mooji and Aaron Glenn and everybody else in the scouting department, is have the 2022 and 2023 drafts that the Detroit Lions had. Because that is the foundation of their team, is guys that they drafted in the 2022 and 2023 drafts. I mean, from Jahmyr Gibbs to Jack Campbell to Sam Laporta to Brian Branch to Jameson Williams to Aiden Hutchinson to Malcolm Rodriguez. And in 2021, they got Penei Sewell and Amon-Ra St. Brown. So, like, it's not a secret how they got better.
But they also get to remember, they had stability at quarterback with Jared Goff. He got off to a bad start in Detroit. You know, he was unhappy.
The quarterback's a huge part of it.
That is going to be the most important, you know, the evaluation that they're going to be going through now. And, you know, I know that they have went out to see Fernando Mendoza, and I'm sure they watched him at Maryland this past week. So I'm sure they're looking at him. I'm sure they're looking at a number of other guys that are going to be candidates for high drafting quarterbacks. I don't know if they'll be top five guys, but most likely they will be. And that to me, you know, because Mooji was there when they drafted Bo Nix. You know, and I said, okay, see you, Russell Wilson, you're out of here. We're going with Bo Nix, and this is the way it's going to work. And Bo Nix started right out of the gate. But he had Sean Payton on the sideline. A little different. And that team was also being built, you know, via free agency and draft. And you look at Denver and see what they've done. This is now what the Jets have a chance to do what Denver and Detroit have done. But more like Denver, because they have to identify that quarterback. You know, and Bo Nix was not the first overall pick, by the way. You know, he was in the middle round, just like Jackson Dart. So it's not like the first overall pick has to be your quarterback. You could trade out of that and get even more assets. So there are a lot of different things that the Jets can do here. You know, what I love about what they're doing is that they're being honest. They're being transparent. They're being like, hey, we're 1-7. We're not going anywhere this year. We got a couple phone calls. We had a disgruntled defensive tackle. We sent him to Dallas. He's got to be happy. We got an incredible offer for Sauce Gardner, who's going to go to Indianapolis, going to be right in the middle of the playoff hunt, which he hasn't been in the last 3 years. So he's got to be happy. You know, so they took care of their players while also, more importantly, taking care of their own team, I believe, for the future.
Yes, and getting the roster that you want to play the football that you're trying to play is what Aaron Glenn really, really needs to help him out, because there's guys that have been in there that have heard different voices. You know, you got Rob Saleh, then you got Aaron Rodgers, who was a leader, then Aaron Glenn's coming in here, and it's just losing, 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 losing. These guys just had to go. And the new Jets that will be coming in the first round can really, they are the ones now that get the opportunity to turn it around that these guys were not able to do. And in order to get two first-round picks for Sauce Gardner is amazing. We have seen it. I'm not saying that Chris Ballard's an idiot. The guy's built an amazing team. But maybe he's seeing something that...
Somebody there has to know Sauce. There's got to be somebody on the staff that either knows
him. Two first-round picks for a guy who, for a season and a half, would have been... I mean, like, he's played, like, C-plus football.
Right. He's also got a friend on that team that he played with at the University of Cincinnati. So, you know, he'll adjust there pretty quickly. And, you know, all of a sudden, when you get traded for that kind of haul that the Jets have gotten, you know, and, of course, all of us have to, you know, react to the trade, you know, in real time. And now we're reacting about it this morning. You know, we all give the Jets an A-plus right now at this moment. If Sauce Gardner... intercepts, I don't know, Josh Allen in the AFC Championship game.
I don't care.
All right, but I'm just going to say, then Indianapolis will say that they won.
Sure, 100%.
That's what it's going to come down to. So, like, while the Jets have acquired all these assets and these picks, and it really comes down to their decision-making now and the players that they select, for the Indianapolis Colts, it's like, what impact? Is he a shutdown corner anymore? I don't know. I haven't seen it in a year and a half. I haven't. So, and, you know, that's just the way it is. But I would think that he's going to be really incentivized to try to get back to where he was. And this is like with the Luka Doncic trade. So when they trade Luka, you know, I kept telling you, he was fat, he was slow. And, you know,
And
they didn't want to give him $345 million. Then he gets traded to the Lakers, and look what happens. Now, all of a sudden, it's a whole new offseason Luka, and he's going to put the time and effort in to get his body right and take care of his body, because it's his body that's going to make him a multi-millionaire. So same thing can be said for Sauce. I think the mind shifts. You become incentivized because you're on a good team, and maybe, and hopefully, and I'm rooting for him, by the way. I'm rooting for both he and Quinnen. But I'm also rooting for the Jets to get it right as well.
Yeah, and this is the exact route. There is no other way to do it than this. I don't completely understand why they signed Sauce Gardner to a deal, but maybe they...
I know why.
I mean, well...
You know why, too. They might,
but they ended up trading him, so...
Which is good, because, you know, that contract, by doing the contract early, they were able to kind of do it on their terms, so they weren't going to lose that much money. Most of the money was back-ended, where I'm telling you, Muji gave this contract and said, you know what? If things don't work out, we're going to try to move him.
Well, if that's the case, then great.
I think it was brilliant, because look at the way the contract is written and the guarantees. Most of it is all in the back end of the contract. That's one of the things that people should laud the GM for that.
Yeah, don't think he earned it, though. Well, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but he's
got at this point, he's gone. So.
They had to pay him for what he did. So he gave two all-pro years.
Yeah.
So they gave him for what he did. Okay? And they kind of took care of him, but now the Colts are the ones that are on the hook for the far majority of the guaranteed money. And they got that contract off of their salary cap ledger. So I'm just telling you, that is such a win by Darren Muji, by the way. Number one, he did the... So all right, why did they do the contracts with him and with Garrett Wilson? Number one, I thought they wanted to buy those guys loyalty. Like, they wanted those guys to be happy. They wanted those guys to support their new head coach. And they wanted those guys to feel like they were part of a rebuilding process that was going on again here. But in other words, it was kind of like accepting that they are great players, but also asking them not to create a firestorm in the locker room and be negative. Right?
Like Quinnen Williams, apparently.
Right. Well, I mean, it seems that Quinnen Williams got his money with the previous regime, not this regime.
That's right.
So that's the first reason why you do it. And then, you know, you don't even think about it until it happens. They trade him to Indianapolis, and then you realize how the contract is written. And then you go, damn, that Muji is smart, or somebody over there is smart. I'm assuming it's him. He's the GM. He's got to make these decisions. And the way that contract is written, and the fact that the Colts have to inherit all that guaranteed money, and this clears all this space on the Jets' salary cap tables, that's that part of it is amazing too.
Well, I mean, also I think that the Quinnen Williams trade is just as amazing to convince a team in the Dallas Cowboys that are 3-5-1 to trade what they traded away to get Quinnen Williams. And then, you know, there's been a lot of people that are combining what they, you know, traded in Micah Parsons and combine this deal and that deal and thinking that the Dallas Cowboys are a complete disaster. But I mean, that deal is almost as genius as the Sauce deal. So yeah, this is as it sits here today.
That Dallas, well, you know, that's the second round pick could be a high one depending on what happens with Dallas' season this year. That would be this coming in 2026. 2027 first round pick, you know, I you would like to think that. Well, you don't know because they're still going to have Dak and they're still going to be trying to do what they're doing.
To have an extra pick in the top 32 is huge.
It's huge,
wherever
right.
that is.
Exactly. You're right. I mean that's why you can't sit here this morning. And obviously on X, you don't know who's really a Jet fan, who's just, you know, trolling the Jet fan and, you know, what's going on out there. But this makes complete sense. And then when you analyze the contract, and I'm sure, I don't know, a lot of ex-GMs out there that are doing media and everything, they probably appreciate this more than the fan does because they know that they're always handicapped by, like, people are saying, you know, the Bills should do this, this team should do that. Then you got to look at their salary caps and you got to look at their tables and how much they're spending and how much room do they have. Can they actually go out and shop and bring a guy in? And then how effective is that guy going to be when you bring a guy in? A lot of times these trades don't work out the way that the acquiring team wants them to work out. Like the guy just disappears, especially when it's wide receivers. But I think the two wide receivers, Jacoby Myers, that's a great pickup, I thought, for the Jags because Travis Hunter got hurt. I don't know how bad he is. And then when you think about Rashid Shaheed going to Seattle, I love that because I think he should fit in there seamlessly. But these other teams didn't have a lot of room to make trades like this. And that's why the Jets, when that call comes from Chris Ballard, boom, you jump on it. And a great job by Darren Mooji.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather.
It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead. Try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you, you know, the real you, and then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Overall, like, I don't get, and I was reading some of the stuff on social media from either Jet fans or media members. I don't get the, the pushback on how this is a bad thing in any way, shape, or form with the Jets. Like, the narrative of, oh, well, they've had plenty of picks before and they failed. Not this regime. This regime hasn't. So you have to forget everything that happened in the past.
Yeah.
This is what a rebuild is about. This is exactly what you should want. You can doubt Muji or Glenn, but those are the guys in place. They are starting a rebuild. For me, this is the greatest thing ever. You're 0-7 with Quinton Williams or whatever it may be. 1-7 with Quinton Williams, Sauce Gardner. Guess what? You start the rebuild process. Get the picks. Let this regime figure out a way that they want to try to rebuild this Jets team.
I got to be honest. I think the last time I felt this good was when Aaron Rodgers came flying out of the tunnel. And I'm not kidding. Like, I'm ecstatic with what the Jets did. The Jets showed that they've got a plan. The Jets showed that they've now got, you know, a guy in charge who's not afraid to take some big swings. And here's what happened, guys. Now, I know that there are definitely many layers to this, like, well, now you've got to draft the right person. Of course. I mean, that's common sense, guys. Everybody knows that. But aside from that, the Jets now control the 2026 draft. The Jets control the 2027 draft. And if somebody that we're not even thinking about right now that is already in the NFL, that is a really, really good quarterback, shakes loose, either he's unhappy with the setup or the team might not want to give him a second contract extension, the Jets are now in that conversation as well. And oh yeah, by the way, Sal, as they do this and now are able to sit at every single table where there's going to be a high-level personnel decision in the NFL, they've also reset their finances.
100%.
I mean, they did so much right yesterday, and this is not about, well, you know, Sauce stinks or quit. No, no, they're good players, man. We all know that, but this was a very forward-thinking move. I love it. I am energized, and I think most Jet fans are with me. Yesterday was a big day for the Jets.
Think about the timeline from just the Giants' perspective when they hired Shane and Dable. And I was begging for this exact thing that the Jets did from the Giants, right? Move on from Jones one way or another. Move on from Barkley. Like, expedite the rebuild process now, year one. Rid yourself of these contracts of guys who have been issues here for whatever reason. Clean it up and get your own guys in. And that didn't happen with Shane and Dable for years. This is year four, and it's the first time that they have their own quarterback. Like, that should never happen. With the Jets, they're rebuilding it the right way. Now, obviously, the key is going to be what they do with those picks. Not only finding good players, but how they use them to either move up and select a quarterback or use them in other areas, whatever it may be. That's going to be the whole key to them getting out of this abyss that they've been in for a long time. But this is exactly what you want. When you have been in a rut, the way the Jets have been in the rut with multiple regimes and the off timing, McCagnan Bowles, fire Bowles, keep McCagnan, fire McCagnan, bring in Gase and fire this guy, bring in Joe Douglas. Like, it was all over the place, never cohesive. And then, oh, we can win with this team. And oh, let's try to draft a quarterback, kick Sam Darnold to the curb and go with Zach Wilson. Oh, no, that's not working. Let's go with Aaron Rodgers. Like, they tried it many different ways and it was all convoluted and screwed up. Now they make the decision, and you could agree or disagree. They hire Muji, first-time GM, coming from Denver, a successful organization. Hire Glenn, first-time head coach, whatever. You could agree, disagree.
Coming from a successful organization.
Right, and also a disciple of Parcells, yeah. Who's a disciple of Peyton. You know, Peyton's a disciple of him. Like, there's a lot of continuity there when you look at the Denver model with Muji being there, and then Sean Payton. Obviously, Sean Payton and Aaron Glenn have similarities. Not talking about the success as a head coach.
But I got you.
They both are Parcells' disciples.
Sure.
Anyway, you could agree or disagree with that, but now you have them here, year one of rebuild. This has nothing to do with, oh, there's some talent with Quinton Williams or Sauce Gardner. No, you want these new guys to start a rebuild. By the way, they gave it some time. They were 0-7. Like, if they were 4-3, would they be doing this? Probably not.
Yeah, that's a really good question. We'll never know the answer to. I don't know. That's an interesting one.
Now, Muji did say yesterday that the record had nothing to do with it, but I have a hard time thinking if they were 5-2 or 4-3 that they would have blown it up to that level. Either way, this is exactly what you want of a rebuild. Now it's going to be on Muji and Glenn to identify the right players to select and build a solid foundation here and change the culture of what has been a losing franchise for a decade.
And oh yeah, by the way, Muji's already shown, granted it's a small sample, but the ability to identify talent. First round pick, Membu, check. Second round pick, Mason Taylor, check. You want to execute a low-level trade and try to fleece the Titans for Brownlee? That worked out pretty well, check. He found the punter, non-drafted, who's a stud, check. Like, there's at least some evidence. There's some pebbles that are kind of connecting to a path that Muji knows what he's doing. Now, one thing that I wasn't sure about, and I'm still not really sure, but I threw it out yesterday as a possible theory that the signing of Sauce was done with this intention.
Right.
Maybe that's overthinking it, but I will say this about Mugi. At least the way the contract was structured
correct.
Enabled him to do this if it didn't work out. Listen, there's a fallacy, and I've tried to dispel this for years. I mean, going back to the mid-2000s, I remember talking about this with Stephen A. on the radio. Like, there's a thought that New York City and New Jersey and all the sports fans here will not sit through a rebuild. I think that's nonsense. I think that we won't sit through a dumb rebuild without a plan, or a rebuild that's constantly reset or hasty or sloppy. Think Stevie Francis. Think Eddie Curry. Think some of the Isaiah Nick stuff. Even, you know, and I like Rodgers. You do as well. But even that was a Hail Mary last gasp. Let's see if we can get something to hit the dartboard and maybe get lucky. New Yorkers, sports fans, will sit through a well-thought-out rebuild. And to me,
especially in a sport with salary caps.
Yeah, for sure.
Baseball may be a different story.
Yeah,
but yes.
Yeah, where there's got to be a resetting, there's no doubt. And obviously, where draft capital really matters. So
yeah.
I think when you look at this from every conceivable level, the ability for the Jets to really do whatever they want in the next couple of drafts here to really restock the cupboards with big-time, elite, young, cheap, controllable talent. And, oh, yeah, by the way, now you can make some massive trades for unhappy superstars that are in their prime. Like, you know, they almost made a trade for Parsons with Quinnen Williams. This came up right. earlier with Dallas. We heard this, you know, yesterday and even some smoke before that. So I just think the Jets are set up right now to really have like a stable foundation rather than a flimsy, let's try this, let's try that. I can't say it. I will say it again, but I can't say it enough. This is the best I felt since Rodgers ran out of the tunnel. I am genuinely into. Look at me.
Yeah.
Just you've sat next to me. Think about the Jet conversations we've had. I am absolutely pumped with what they did.
Because they've been in no man's land for so long. Now it's at least a clear direction of a rebuild. Not to mention the players that they brought back that have potential.
Yeah, true.
Can I tell you another thing that I loved about this? And I was more open to trading Garrett Wilson than you would have been.
Yeah, I wanted to keep him.
Fair enough. But I love that they were decisive about it, saying untouchable.
Not him.
We've identified him as a guy that we want to be a part of this turnaround in our culture and our winning, whatever it may be, building back up, trying to be a winner. I love that. Identify it. Be decisive about it. Even with the draft you mentioned, like, they're not chasing a quarterback. They're staying disciplined. They're not going out there and trying to chase other talented players, or even in the case of Breece Hall, not just overdoing it, saying, well, we're getting rid of everybody, fire sale, let's take a fourth-round pick back. No, we don't believe that a fourth-round pick is good value for Hall, so guess what? We're keeping him.
Yeah.
Kansas City, you want him? You better come with a three or go home.
That's right.
I like that discipline and decisive nature from Mugi and Aaron.
And so do I. And here's what I think is going to happen with Breece Hall. He's going to get a contract extension, because now as they reset the finances, get Quinnen's numbers off the books, and what they had to pay Sauce, which goes into Mugi having this ability to juggle multiple things at once. Yes, they want to retain Sauce. No, they didn't want to do it where it would paralyze their books early. So now, hey, Colts, you got a really good player if he's locked in, and he very well might help you get to a Super Bowl. And I hope he does. I hope Sauce does well. And I hope Quinnen does well.
Oh, you want the Colts to lose, though, so you get a better
draft. That's true. That's true, too. That is true. That is true.
I'm trying to be too kind.
I told you I'm giddy. I'm losing all sensibility against Al. This team getting me nuts. I think that the Jets now are showing signs of coming to life with intelligent people. And that is the, you know, you talk about like the Knicks ascent, and we'll see where it goes. But the Knicks ascent, they didn't change owners. They just hired Leon Rose. And then Dolan stayed out of the way. And then you empower smart people and you stumble upon something good. You lay out. Woody may have finally stumbled upon something good. And here's the other thing, too.
He also deserves some credit, though, as you talked about yesterday, staying out of the way.
You said this. Yeah.
When you talk about trading stars who are popular with the fans.
Oh, I know. Easy to get wrapped up in that.
Correct. It's easy for an owner to be like, nah, you know what? I respect the move you want to make. I'm keeping Sauce. Figure out a way to trade somebody else.
Yeah, especially a first-year GM who's got no equity here. He laid out, which I really do appreciate. Now, the other thing, too, and we'll get these calls here, obviously, early. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. So the ability now for the Jets to still try to win this year, which I don't mean playoffs here, but the last thing you want to do is trade everybody and then lose every game 40-6 because you're still trying to, while you want to get all the draft stuff and build for the future, you still want to have a competitive tone in the building now for the guys who are there. So if they happen to beat the Browns this week and win three or four games, and I don't know, maybe they do, maybe they don't, But because they've got all these additional draft picks, it will not preclude them from, if they want to, move up to number one if they had to get the quarterback that they might love this year or next year. So you could still try to win now, and then obviously you've got your ducks lined up and you could do some serious damage. The Jets, this sounds crazy. This sounds like a contradiction. The Jets are now power brokers in the most unconventional sense in the NFL.
One last thing before we get to the calls, 888-808-1019. You mentioned the importance of trying to win some games this year and try to build a little bit of a foundation. I think it's imperative that that's the case, because now if you look forward to next year, I don't want them to be in the same spot they've been in where they're chasing the quarterback to be the savior and just getting the quarterback.
You mean the young quarterback?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Chasing the young quarterback in the draft to come in and be the savior where there isn't a foundation or structure around them.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to trust Muji and Glenn. We have no choice but to do that in this particular case, whether they love a quarterback in this year's draft or a quarterback-rich 2027 draft, which everybody's saying that that might be the case. Whenever they decide to go get that quarterback, whoever it may be, it is imperative you bring him in to a situation that is not what the Jets have done with Darnold, with Zach Wilson, Geno Smith, and others. You have to bring him in to a better structure around him. I think the pieces are in place with the offensive line, but now they also have to rebuild that culture, start winning some games, the draft picks, Garrett Wilson is here. It should be a better situation, but I think it would be significantly helped if they could figure out a way to win some games and then have people start to believe in Aaron Glenn and Muji and just have a better setup, as opposed to, hey, we suck, let's have the first pick or second pick, bring in the quarterback, cross our fingers, hope that he could bring us out of the abyss in New York.
And let's try to do it with one single draft pick. Yeah. I mean, so we're sitting here talking about the, you know, the two first this year and the three next year and the multiple second round picks. That could become more by trading out, and as evidenced by what the Giants did getting Jackson Dart. Like, there's a thought that, you know, and I said it because it's part of the possibility where the Jets now can move up to one or two, whatever they have to do if they have to get the guy that they want. But they can also move down and still identify the guy that they want. Like, they really, it guarantees nothing, all right, except that they are in the middle of every conversation, which and a lot of those conversations will be controlled by the Jets based on their newfound draft capital. A great day. You still got to go out there and get the players. I'm pumped that I think most Jet fans are.
Direction from the New York Jets organization. BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Scott is calling from East Brunswick. What's up, Scott?
What's happening, fellas?
Scotty.
Guys, BT, I'm with you. They've sucked for 15 years. We suck with you. We could suck without you. And there's finally direction. This goes back to leadership in the building. Don't give any credit to Woody, though, guys. He was just making idiotic comments 2 weeks about us.
But Scott, you have...
But Woody, they traded... But BT, listen.
Have to give the owner some credit in this regard for at the very least not getting in the way of these big deals.
He allowed it to happen, I agree.
Let's talk
future. Let's talk future. We finally have picks. We finally have a direction. But what you said is the truth. First, you have to hit on these picks.
True.
Go back to the strategy, what you just said. You're coming. Glenn learned from Parcells. Parcells in 97 came in. They traded that first pick. They picked up extra picks. He went to Detroit. Detroit trades Stafford. What's the first move Campbell makes? Get those extra picks. Just like you said, you have to have a foundation. You can't just have two star players and nothing else on your roster. I think they made the right move. I think it was decisive, like you guys said. Now it's about getting the right pieces. Because the foundation, you have a blank slate. The money's off, so you have so much financial, you have so much options. But the thing is this, just like you said, let's trust Muji. I've trusted Glenn since the beginning. He's been there. He's seen how to rise and how to build the team up. Just like you said, though, I think it is important now. Instead of me feeling like, who cares about every game, I'm apathetic. I don't care. Now I want to see, let's win a couple games. Let's get a little good mojo, just like the Lions did in year one with Campbell. Build some mojo. Make the Jets a place people want to come to.
There you go, Scott.
People have not wanted to come here because of Woody, but you know what? Let's clear the decks. Start over. It's been 15 years. I've been sick over it since they left Pittsburgh in that January night in 2011. No. It's time to go back to even the playoffs, and let's just build from nothing. It's the wreckage. We got nothing. Let's build with nothing and make good choices. But don't fail like you failed Sam. Because guys, you failed Sam.
Yeah, but Scott. Scott, thank you for the call. Good. Listen, great energy. I like your read. I happen to agree with it. I think many people feel that the ray of possibilities and the ray of hope has been, I think, very uplifting for the Jet fan base right now. Now, again, there's a lot of different side conversations here. Starting with, well, now you got to actually get the players. I get that, but without a plan, that's where apathy comes in. Really. When the losing just seeps in and it's rinse and repeat and recycle coaches, Sal, and GMs and, you know, take a Hail Mary here and try to get this guy in a trade and bring in a 30-year-old receiver in Devontae Adams. You know, like not that it didn't get you temporarily excited because you're like, well, maybe this will get it done because we're desperate. But I think that there's enough evidence in the NFL that if you try to do it this way, organically, and you don't reach for the microwave, and you don't reach for the clicks, and you just let smart people do their job, it usually works. Doesn't happen overnight, but it usually works.
This is the right way to do it. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to guarantee anything. What it means is we're going to find out if Muji's got it, if Glenn's got it. But the timeline is exactly what you want. This was supposed to be a rebuild. Nobody was expecting this team to do any damage this year. Come on, you got to be realistic. And they didn't. They started out awful. Obviously, 0-7, they finally get their first win. So this was the right decision to be made. Now we're going to find out. We're going to be decisive about what Muji and Glenn could do. In the near future, we'll find out year two and year three. This is exactly what you want. And give them some runway here for the next 2, 3, 4 seasons. And then by then, we'll be able to determine if they're on the right trajectory, the right path. But I'd rather this and have a guy like Muji have the guts to trade away top talent and say, I want to bring in my guys. We, Muji and Glenn, we want to bring in our guys to change the structure, the foundation, the culture of this team the way that we want it. That's exactly what you want. That's why you hire those guys. Let them do it the way that they want. Will it work out or not? We'll find out. But that's what you could ask for in a rebuild.
That's really the starting point in what you need to hope for in a rebuild. Yeah. And by the way, I think that both of these deals were very different. And I think that it speaks to the adaptability, which is a word that you hear me use pretty often here. Because I think if you're not adaptable, I think you just limit yourself in terms of what you could do. And I'm talking about Muji. So He wasn't out there proactively searching for a trading partner for Sauce Gardner. What he was smart, and he answered the phone. And the Colts were aggressive because the Colts think they could do something big this year. Maybe they can. So Indy offered whatever they offered. Not enough. He played cards. He strung it out. He got what he wanted. He got to a point where he could not turn it down. Bang, you could have Gardner. The Q stuff was completely different in the sense where, and this is a good sign. The opposite of what the Jets have been for so long. Quinton Williams reportedly asked for a trade 3 different times. I mean, for that not to get leaked out, for a building that has had, you know, gossipers. Remember the amount of texts that I used to get
during the
show? I mean, come on, man. I'm not going to identify who it was, but I used to get me and Sal would be in the middle of a conversation. I get texts from somebody in the building telling me what's going on. Now, not every single thing was right, but a lot of it was, meaning they just had a lot of loose lips, which means it wasn't buttoned up, okay? The fact that that never got out is great, because if it did, you're not getting a first and a second round pick for Quinton Williams. If that story hits the news cycle, then the Jets have no leverage. Q demands a trade. Q asks 3 times to get dealt. Well, then, if that's the case, common sense, how the hell are you going to get a first and a second round pick? You're not. So they are buttoned up. They are quiet. They are on the same page. And this is a big step forward for the Jets. Let's go.
Justin is in Wantage, New Jersey. What's up, Justin?
Hey, morning, boys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, Jess.
Hey, good. So I was just listening to you guys real quick. I don't understand how you can honestly think this team is going to go on and win some games after trading away their key defensive players. Almost saying, can you fill a regular, please? 07461. Sorry about that, guys.
It's all good. No, we're not saying that they're going to win a lot of games. We're saying that they're going to try to still win. And then obviously,
they've been trying all year.
I understand.
You know, and my whole thing is,
they've been trying. You're right.
The Jets are the king. Listen, the Jets are the king of the rebuild. Only the Jets will draft 2 to 5 awesome players and somehow can't find any way how to utilize them. We're really good at getting hope. let's get draft picks. Yeah. Fantastic. What have we done with them in the last
but
20 years?
But Justin.
Absolutely nothing.
But Justin, that's why the guys who made those decisions are no longer here. Now you have new people. That's not Muji and Glenn's fault that the people before them couldn't do it.
I understand that, but we all love Joe D, remember? He had some good hits.
Yeah.
He had some misses, too.
Yep.
But the problem with the Jets is that, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's whatever's in that water down there in Florham Park, we can't develop a QB, right? We all love Aaron Glenn and the possibility of maybe one day we'll be the Lions. However, they had Jared Goff. We have nothing.
Well, they didn't
have nothing now, Justin. They didn't have Jared Goff right away.
I understand
when they got
that. Right. Yes, I get that, but the hope of a draft pick, nothing in our track record has ever shown that we can do it.
Justin.
The only time we have drafted QBs,
yep.
They leave an organization and they get better.
We understand this, Justin.
Sam Darnold, Geno Wilson.
No, we know Geno Smith. We know
on
the names.
And on. We're on a treadmill.
I get it. But listen, and by the way, Justin, I understand that mindset. Now, that's not my mindset, because one thing that I don't do, and I really will never do this, is attach somebody else's failure and say that new people will suffer the same fate. To me, that's the height of stupidity. I'm not calling you stupid, Justin, but I just think that that's an illogical, flawed mindset. Just because somebody else was not good at their job doesn't mean that the new person can't be. What are you talking about?
Has nothing to do with this regime.
But that's what he's saying, because the Jets always stumbled upon themselves and they always fail.
What's the alternative? And by the way, I can give you, like, you could say, yeah, you like Joe Douglas. Did you like the way that it was structured where they had McCagnan hang on? What was the exact time when they fired Bowles, kept McCagnan, had him draft?
Yes, and then got rid of him right away.
Yeah, like,
if they let him draft, then they fired him.
Like, think of how stupid that is. They hire Gase, then they bring in the general manager. Like, the whole thing has been convoluted for multiple regimes. This is not. You don't have to like it, but it's at least being done. This is the right way to try and rebuild. Hire a general manager, hire a head coach. Have them try to rebuild it with their own guys. The same year, year one. That's what they're doing. Will it work out? Who the hell knows? But I'll tell you this. I like this structure set up better for success than I did any of the prior structures. McCagnan, you could tell right out of the gate he was overmatched.
Mm-hmm. Idzik was worse.
Idzik was an embarrassment.
Wow.
And think about that timeline. Like, you could go back to Tannenbaum and Mangini was really the last time.
Yeah, for sure.
You felt good maybe about a tandem. Mm-hmm. And that led to
Tannenbaum and Rex, too. But you go back to the start of it.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
Tannenbaum,
yeah.
Mangini, that led to success.
Yeah, yeah.
They decided to fire the head coach, keep the GM, they hired Rex. They still had success. So, like, that structure, then they started to get away from it. Idzik was, like, come on, dude. That was just a bad hire. That led to the McCagnan stuff. Like, we know about the timeline. I'm not saying that Muji's definitively the guy. We have no idea. But this is how, if you're going to rebuild, this is how you do it. Now they better set the foundation to whoever they bring in to succeed in this new foundation with all those draft picks that they have.
It's all about sustained success. You talk about this with the Mets. This is like, you want to have a chance to sit down and watch your team, whatever sport we're talking about, where they're having, you know, they're in the mix to be championship viable, you know, for a couple of years in a row. Now, depending upon the sport, obviously some windows are longer than others, but this guarantees nothing except that it opens up the possibility of building it from the, you know, the inside out the right way. No quick fix, no Hail Mary, no 40-year-old quarterback whose Hall of Fame resume was for somebody else. I love it. I really, really love what the Jets did. I'm pumped, dude.
Sports Talk on WFAN, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We'll get to the Giants as well this hour. Giants didn't do anything. The complete opposite of the Jets yesterday, the trade deadline. Why that was a good thing for the Giants. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What a shocking trade today from the New York Jets. I didn't think they had the guts. Good for them. Muji showing he doesn't mess around. I love how he works in silence. Aaron Glenn as well, I'm sure, identifying, look, Sauce Gardner, a good player, but he's not fitting into what we're trying to do here. Plus the idea that maybe it was just, hey, we got two first-round picks for him. Like, yes, please, thank you. Two first-round picks, and you get a wide receiver. You know, Costos was texting me as well, saying the Jets bleeping smoked that, you know, Costos with his foul mouth. Jets bleeping smoked that trade. Also talking about Mitchell as a receiver has a ton of upside. You'll like that.
No, so, okay.
But you get a receiver back that maybe could be of use. These are the type of trades that change the trajectory of a franchise. It seems harsh. Oh, my kid's favorite player. Oh, we love Sauce, and he was one of our guys, and great corner, and highly rated by PFF, whatever. These are the type of trades, though, that you look at, and you get two first-round picks and a wide receiver back. You could have three potentially, now they got a hit on those draft picks, but three potentially useful pieces that come into a new culture that Aaron Glenn's trying to build, not here and enduring the losing and all that negativity that Sauce has for years.
Yep.
This is a great day, I think, for the New York Jets.
I'm really, really, truly stunned, and I'm really, really, truly pumped. I mean, to break free of the chains of torture, you got to be bold here. I mean, the Jets aren't going to end this run of futility by nickel and diamond. Well, you know, let me take a flyer on this nickel corner in the fifth round out of TCU. You've got to line things up. You've got to look in the mirror. You've got to be very honest in your self-assessment. And you've got to say to yourself, by the time, and I'm sure this was part of the evaluation with Muji, by the time we're really, really good, they don't have a quarterback yet. By the time we're championship caliber good, where is Sauce as a player? And I think that factors into this. And by the way, Muji here, you know, we focus so much on the head coach once the season starts. You know, I did this on the pod last week. He drafts Membu, who has been phenomenal on the right side. He drafts Mason Taylor, who's been really, really solid as a young tight end second round. He traded Brownlee from the Tennessee Titans, which enabled him to trade Michael Carter, and Brownlee has been very good. He fleeced them. He got Stevens. Now, Stevens was somebody, he signed him as a free agent and he, from the Ravens as a corner, was not playing well the first two games. The last six games, whatever it means to you, whatever, that's up to you. He's graded really, really, really well. And they found a punter in McNamara, who's 24 years of age, who ranks high in whether it's net, whether it's hang time, whether it's pinning opponents inside the 15, the 10, the 5, all the different increments. So even the Justin Fields deal is structured smartly, where it's a nominal commitment to their starter. We think he's the starter. He won't really tell us, but we'll see eventually anyway if he plays this Sunday. I think he will. So that's not a lot of money to Justin Fields if and when you move on from him. So now you get two first-round picks, which you can you, and it's not just two. You can take one of them and then get four more picks, right. Or you can take one of them and shoot up the draft board to get the guy that you absolutely love as the quarterback. None of this guarantees anything, but again, trying to inch toward relevance was doing nothing. This is a bold move, and Muji has had a really good couple of months. I'm impressed.
Think about the clean start that we've had here with the Jets. You fire everybody, you hire a general manager, hire a head coach, build it from the ground up. And then in year one, obviously the 0-7 wasn't great, but they finally get their first win. Okay, and now you get a general manager that is aggressive here, moving on from a piece. The easy thing to do would have been, well, we got Sauce Gardner, he's a talented quarterback, let's try to build and win with him. The more challenging thing to do, but the better move, is to say, I want my own guys in here. Why am I committing to a guy who's been underperforming, who's been part of a losing culture for a long time here? Well, now they get to evaluate him for the first, you know, seven games, whatever it is that he's played so far this year. I know the injury. So you evaluate him. You see that maybe he's not all that you thought he could be or would be. You also know that the return that you're getting is astronomical for a corner. I don't care if it's a top corner or not. Two first-round picks for a new regime to say, let me pick my type players with AG and bring them in, not to mention get a receiver on top of it. I don't know how you can't think this is a slam dunk every which way for the Jets. And it's exciting to have. Now, the Muji will be judged on what he does with those picks. Not only those picks, but what he does in the next couple of drafts. But that's what you want. A new GM to come in, stockpile some picks here, clean out the mess, evaluate what you have, and then he's going to have to hit. If you do that, now that's how you turn a losing franchise around. That it's a beautiful move. Now he's got to, on top of that, make sure that he hits here and starts to bring in some players that fit the culture. They start to win some games, and then the rest would be his.
And I'd be surprised if he's done for the day. We'll find out. He got a couple hours, obviously, for Eastern deadline. I mean, I would trade him, Sal. Yeah. I'm not going to give him big money.
What
I'm
about Garrett?
Garrett, I would keep. Garrett Wilson, I would keep. I think that it's...
You can get a couple first-rounders. See ya!
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to walk away today with, you know, four first-rounders, you answer the phone, and you're open to everything. Now, of the two, I always valued Garrett Wilson more. There's just, you know, and I do think that Boldy hit on something really important. It's not that Sauce was a bad culture guy, and even said he was the first on the field. I think that Gardner was really well-intentioned. I think he really, what he did really well, he was great at. The problem was, as the league found out what he couldn't do well, you know, they just ran right at him. They got him away from the sideline, which every corner likes to use as a boundary. But for him particularly, he's much better along the sidelines than in the middle of the field because he's not strong. And he was getting more and more handsy, and the flags were coming after they were swallowed. Usually you would think that it would be the opposite. They would throw flags early as a rookie when you grab in people, and as you get some respect, now they start swallowing it. The opposite. They let him do it as a rookie. Either way, I think it's a very forward vision. I think it's definitely bold. I am all for trading. You want Quinnen Williams? You can have him. Let me just tell you right now. Here's who I would not trade: the left tackle, the right tackle, Garrett Wilson, and Mason Taylor. And I think that that's it. You want somebody, call me. Let's talk shop.
Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you could always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And now Jet fans have a new thing to root for, because not only are you going to root for your team to win some games here and try to build a different winning culture with Aaron Glenn, you're also going to be rooting for the Colts to lose because you want better picks or a better pick. The number ones, one in the 2026 draft and then one in 2027.
And that's one of the things we were talking about during the break. Like, okay, you know, Daniel Jones had a really good year. Obviously didn't play great this past weekend against the Steelers. But it's not like Andrew Luck is there or Peyton's there, where this team is guaranteed to win 13, 14 games a year. You don't know. I mean, who knows what that becomes down the road. And as soon as we went to break, Hoff came in. He was on the phone. Boldy, phone's ringing. Obviously, news breaking. So it's pretty nuts here. We'll get these Jet calls. Can't wait to get to the Jet fans today. But he said what I had said. He didn't hear me say because he was busy. That was my point about, you have to wonder if this was done with intention, meaning let's sign him with the intention to trade him, because you're not getting a singular first-round pick, let alone two, if Sauce doesn't have a contract. So now we can make the case that's also a risky move, because if you do that with the intention, intention to move him, if you believe that that's possible, which I do. Well, if he played so horrendously that nobody wanted him or he got hurt, now you're stuck with a bad deal for a guy who's overrated and you don't get the first round picks. I believe, based on Muji's early moves, this guy strikes me as the next level thinker. I would not be stunned that this was pre-planned and this is orchestrated.
I'm not going to go as far as to say I think he signed him with the intent to trade him, but I think you sign him knowing that you still could trade him, that there's value there if need be. If he turns out to be great and you think that he's a valuable piece to this team moving forward, great. You keep him and you get him at a deal that you're comfortable with. If not, he's certainly a tradable piece, which obviously he is tradable because they just got two first-round picks. But I can't say that we don't know. It's your opinion versus my opinion or our thought. We have no idea what he's doing. I can't say I don't think that would be smart business to sign a guy with the intent to trade him. You could sign him saying, in the event that I might need to trade him, this is a tradable deal. That is different than saying, we're going to trade him. Let me sign him now and try to maximize the return.
I'm just either way, and yeah. we might not ever know the answer. I'm just surprised. Like, you know, I remember saying when Aaron Glenn came in, I'm like, of all the players on the roster, don't you think from Aaron's perspective, I remember Aaron Glenn saying, I've watched every rep of every defensive player taken last year. And I believe that. The guy's doing his homework, doing his due diligence. If you're Aaron Glenn, having played that position, don't you think that you would have the best read on Gardner coming into the season than any other player. So, yeah.
And then getting to coach him, though, is a different story,
yeah,
too. And
yeah, scheme. Yeah, it is. It is. And I think he's very coachable. I just think that he's not what we thought he was. So, wow. Very, very interesting day for the Jets. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Eddie calling from Vernon, New Jersey. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Ed.
Yo, what's up, ET and Sal?
Eddie.
I want to talk about Sauce Gardner. We can start calling him Gravy Gardner now.
Well, he's gone, Gardner, now. We could start calling him nothing because he's going to be irrelevant as far as we're concerned in New York.
Yeah, but it was the sauce and gravy thing.
Oh, we remember.
The argument.
Yeah, we remember. I get it.
I know you do.
We got it.
Love you guys.
Oh.
Do you like the trade?
I like the trade. I don't mind two first rounders, of course.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Well, you like gravy sauce argument more than you do care about the football stuff. Well, I'm all for having fun. I mean, we're talking about a serious trade here, a shocking trade. Eddie, the first call up messing around about the sauce guy and gravy stuff.
Like, one of the bigger trades we've had in a long time here.
It's a massive deal. It's huge. Two first round picks coming back plus a wide receiver with potential.
Right now, the Jets are third on the draft board. And, you know, I mean, remember, they're still trying to recover some of the assets they gave up for Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, they are in a hole. They're in a big hole here for a long time. And the way you do that, if you trust the people in your building, is you let them do things that might be a little too aggressive in the eyes of some. I love it because you never get off the treadmill by standing still.
Let Muji cook. And by the way, this also, now, again, we don't know the inner workings. We know the reports on the inner workings of the Jets, and we've heard about the dysfunction for years. But think about it this way. Maybe Woody Johnson, like, to me, if anything, Woody would have an affinity for Sauce. Player they drafted.
Yeah. Remember he was wearing the big chain?
Yes. Get big chain. Give him a contract. He's a guy that represents some of the good, like one of the young players that the Jets drafted and hit on, even though I think he's a bust, like, you know what I mean, relative to expectation. The fact that he wouldn't get in the way of a trade like this, to me, is also a great thing, meaning I would bet that Woody was as far away from this one as possible. Now, I'm sure the deal ultimately had to go through him, but I'm glad that it got approved and this wasn't one of those that we find out in a year from now or six months. Muji tried to make a trade and Woody said no, he loves Sauce too much or his son likes playing with him on Madden, so they couldn't trade him for two first-round picks for the Colts. This is a big trade that when you get the approval of the owner like that, I think that that's a good thing as well, staying the hell out of the way.
We would have had to stuff Woody in a locker if he got his fingerprints on this. Stay out of the way. Let the football people make some moves. Come on, Wood. Good job.
You know what I mean? He could have. Hold on. I got three people talking to me at once here, Dove. He could have impacted it. What were you saying, Dove?
I guess his Madden rating went down. So he said, okay.
Thank you. I was just looking at the Colts schedule as well. Colts play the Falcons in London.
Let's go, Falcons.
At the Chiefs.
KC. Hail Chiefs.
Home against the Texans.
Let's go, Texans.
At Jaguars.
Come on, Jags.
At Seattle. Actually, a very
Seattle's
difficult.
Good.
Yeah, home against the Niners.
Okay.
Jags again, and then
tough
at
schedule.
The Texans.
Let's go.
All of a sudden, that pick can be...
I feel alive. I'm not going to lie to you. I do feel alive, at least pertaining to the Jets. I got a little invigorated today, Sal. Let's go.
Angelo calling from Wayne, New Jersey. What's up, Angelo?
I like it.
Yeah, guys, I got home from cataract surgery, and I read the news, and I was like,
somebody pinch me.
How'd you read the news? Read it or you heard it? You read it right after surgery?
I heard it. A friend texted me. I was like, this can't be real.
It's real.
First rounders for a guy that can't even tackle me. I mean, I'm loving this trade. I'm going to get a Muji jersey tomorrow. Plus, Donnie Mitchell, I think he was a first or a second round pick, this Mitchell kid.
I don't know much about him. I'm familiar with the name. I'd be lying to you, Angelo, and thank you for the call. If I said I knew a lot about him, Costos texted he has potential. I have no idea where he was.
What's
drafted.
His name again? I'm so
AD
focused.
Mitchell.
AD Mitchell. AD Mitchell. I'm so focused on the big stuff. Man, I mean, imagine if they actually got a receiver out of this. That's
this
good,
has been
too.
Talked about for a while AD. Now that they were hoping to trade, or a lot of fans wanted AD Mitchell to be traded to somewhere around here.
Yeah.
Because the Colts had no interest in playing him, but supposedly.
So, the Giants wanted them, you're saying?
I think a lot of Giants fans, I think a lot of fans across the NFL were looking for AD Mitchell to come to their team.
Really? 6'2", 205, 23, pick. Young kid, Georgia, Texas, played, you know, bounced around a little bit.
Second round pick in 2020. Dude.
Yeah, he's young. Let's see. The last couple of games here. You know, whatever. I had three for 96 against the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers aren't going to blow you away, but it's just what he can potentially do.
Okay.
I mean, look, if you're taken in the second round of the draft not too long ago, I mean, there's some potential there.
Yes.
This is not just some, like, third receiver scrub the rest of the way. A guy taken in the second round, there's some potential that maybe the Jets you hope to unlock here. And it's certainly a department that they needed to upgrade. So who knows about AD Mitchell? That's not why you make the trade. You make it because of the top two picks that you're getting. But to have a receiver with potential in as well, that is a home run deal. All right, let's take a break. We'll take a quick break, come back with more of your calls on the Jets stuff and on the Giants trade deadline.
What? Oh, just a reminder, this is what the biggest issue was about him.
What?
He cost the Colts a game by fumbling on the end zone.
What do you
according
mean?
According to Gallo.
Oh, he was that the Cardinals?
Yes, and that's why everyone wanted him gone after that.
Well, we'll
yes.
take him. Just don't do it for us. Learn your lesson, buddy. We're good.
What game was that again? Do you remember the game? I'm getting it mixed up.
I can't remember. Was it the Broncos game?
Because
Gallo had the information.
Hey, he found the end zone. That's a good thing.
He stepped in there. He just forgot to bring the ball.
I'm sure he'll never make that mistake again. You better not. All right.
Now they need a corner because they just traded Sauce Gardner. Now they made it a defensive tackle because they traded Quinn Williams. Do you see my point that eventually you're using those assets to replace the good young players you just traded away? Right. And you're hoping they're as good.
Well, maybe they trade Jermaine Johnson and get another first-round pick.
Well, they may.
What? Reuben Bain Jr. sitting right up there is the best player in this draft.
But then you need more. Like, look, I get it. I'm not saying that Darren Muji is screwing up by doing this. Mm-hmm. What I am pointing out is that I can't celebrate
I don't see
it.
How this is a bad thing.
I didn't say it's a bad thing. I said I'm not celebrating it because what am I celebrating? Fictitious players they're going to draft?
No, here's what you celebrate.
Go.
You celebrate a plan. A lot of teams don't have a plan.
I respect the plan. Load up on picks.
Celebrate. Cool. No, not even the picks. Just the plan. We need this type of player, and these are the four college kids or even a free agent that I think fits that type of role that we want. So our plan is to put ourselves in position to get that player. And we can't do it by luck of the draw in the draft. We have to do it by acquiring a bunch of draft picks so that we can put ourselves wherever we want. That's when I look at what the Jets are doing, that's what it feels like they're doing. They're creating a plan to get wherever they need to get to in the draft or in free agency. Because once you have a draft pick, it becomes a tradable issue asset as well.
Absolutely.
And so
absolutely.
I feel like they're putting a plan together. And it's not about player versus player. It's about plan. Celebrate their plan or the fact that they have one or it looks like
you're using the wrong word. I'm not celebrating a damn thing today. And you want to say respect the plan, appreciate the plan, understand the plan. That's all fine. Celebrate?
You don't know the plan, so celebrate the fact that they have one. That's all I'm saying.
So what am I? If you say that we don't know if they have a plan, what am I celebrating?
No. They clearly have.
We
a plan.
We just don't know what the plan is.
We don't know what the plan is.
That's fine.
But just celebrate the fact that they have one.
I just don't like the word celebrate.
Celebrate the end of a failed era. They are starting a new era, whatever that may be. Now, we don't know what that's going to be, but Evan, it's not just one for one. Well, now with that pick, they need a corner, they need a D tackle. They also just cleared out a ton of salary.
I understand.
And will draft a quarterback at a rookie contract. You're going to have a ton of room, both with draft capital and free agency.
Right.
The team, is it going to be a brand new team?
I understand
next
that. Do you want me to put a party hat on? Like, is that what you're like? Have some champagne and celebrate.
What do you want?
This
from this
wasn't
season?
Working.
You guys are not listening to me.
I am listening.
I understand what they're doing. I've accepted what they're doing. I'm even good what they're doing. But don't tell me to celebrate like something happened where I'm celebrating. They got to go get players
all right,
now.
So this is just the Jet fan wanting to be miserable.
No,
this is I've been miserable my whole life. You know what? Even though this is actually a good thing, it's clearing. A space, as Sean was saying, I'm just going to be miserable about it. You know why? Because I'm used to being miserable. And you know what? I've grown to enjoy being miserable.
And
you know what's even better? When I get happy, I'm still going to be miserable because I don't understand what happy means.
That last part kind of makes sense. 3-0, I'll be like, what am I doing with myself?
Exactly.
Let's go to Corey in Edison, New Jersey. What's up, Corey?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking the call. It's funny because if they made the same exact deal with a team like the Chiefs or the Eagles, I think I would be against it. Mm-hmm. But just the fact I think we made the deal with teams like the Colts and the Cowboys, who in 2027, it's kind of up in the air what type of team they are. I mean, I think they think they're going to be good, but there's a possibility they're, you know, mediocre again. So
there's a
chance that the Jets might have three first rounders in the top 15 next year, right?
Completely agree with you.
You're 100, especially with the Cowboys.
Yep. No, you're 1,000% right. I have a lot of experience of rooting against teams because I have their pick.
Yeah.
Like, way too much experience doing it. And you're right. Like, there is something rewarding looking at the Colts this year, but mostly next year.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly Dallas next year.
Right.
And saying, wow, this could be amazing. 100%. Not that I want to sit here rooting for injuries, but injuries are a big part of the NFL.
And Dak consistently gets injured.
Right.
Who knows what they're going to do with their receiving core? Like, who knows?
And the Jets are due good luck in such a way that maybe that Colt pick next year, after Daniel Jones explodes all over Indianapolis, maybe it's top five. I do think that's a very, very fair point, that if this deal's made with the Eagles or the Chiefs, or even the Ravens or the Steelers, like the fundamentally good organizations, I would look at it and say, who knows where this is going to go.
Right.
But I think with Indianapolis and Dallas, with all due respect to them, there is a bust factor to both teams. Let's go to Matt in Hillsboro, New Jersey. What's up, Matt?
Hey, boys. Yep. So I'm okay with this with Sauce because, look, the guy had more pass interferences than interceptions in his career. How many times have we seen third and long, they throw at him, flag comes down, and their drives continue? And Evan, I understand your frustration. We now have hope. I understand not being happy that we're in this position because it just means we've sucked for so long. But we now have hope. And I think that's something that we can hold on to. And with all these defensive players gone, I mean, gee, how are we going to stop a team when we're up and they're driving and we need to stop here? We weren't doing it anyway.
Yeah.
So at least now we have two first rounds, two second rounds next year. But I get what you're saying.
Thank you. Thank you for understanding what I'm saying, because I'm a normal human being who goes through emotions.
Yes. And I understand what you're saying as well. I just think you're wrong.
Okay. My first emotion, and I'm telling you, if this happened while we were on the air, you would have heard it, but I've already moved on from that emotion. My first emotion was I was pissed off. Like, literally, I'll show you the text messages. I'm texting my friends saying, I hate this. I hate giving up Sauce Gardner. I said it to Sean. Sean sat with me.
Yep.
And I even said it to him. I was like, you know what? Give me an hour. By the time we get on the air, I'm going to understand it. I'm going to not appreciate it, but be like, all right, this was the right move to make.
Yeah.
Because I went back and actually listened to something we said a week ago. I didn't pull the audio. It was convoluted. In which we talked about trading Quinnen Williams.
Mm.
And my answer was, I'm open to trading Quinnen Williams. But when it comes to Sauce and it comes to Garrett Wilson, I need a godfather offer, and I don't think it's out there. Well, let's reevaluate. I think the Indianapolis Colts actually made a godfather offer.
Right.
Because if I brought up a week ago, they're going to get two number ones and a young wide receiver and A.D. Mitchell for Sauce Gardner, my guess, Teak, as you all would have said, you're not getting that.
No, there's no way you were getting that. But then again, when I go look at the Colts roster, A.D. Mitchell is expendable.
He is expendable, but the two number ones is really what I mean.
True, right. I would have expected a one, maybe a three.
Yes.
I guess a player, but not really. I wouldn't even thought about a player. I thought that would have been the top of what they had been offering. Two number ones and a really good young player. It was only in his second season. He could develop into being the perfect complement to Garrett Wilson.
I'm going to show you the weirdness of my emotions. I'm not sure Tommy will remember this, but The Jets drafted Zach Wilson. Right? Mm-hmm. We're all like, okay.
Yep.
Months later, actually, no, it wasn't months later. Let me get the timestamp on this correctly. So the Jets are picking where they're picking, and mm-hmm. we know they're going to draft Zach Wilson. Like, yeah. it's obvious. And a few weeks before they draft, they trade Sam Darnold. Okay? And they got a really good return back. Wasn't it a second-round pick?
Yeah.
Everyone's
for a guy that you knew wasn't going to be their guy.
Correct. Every Jet fan's emotions were, this is awesome! Ba-ba. Do you remember what my opinion was that day, Tommy, by any stretch?
I got to be honest, I don't remember. But if I were to project what I think it was, is that you had such a affinity for Sam and the fact that it didn't work, you were almost in a mourning of that Sam wasn't our guy.
You were very close. I was sad because what I reminded Jet fans was the fact that we're doing this is sad.
Right, because it wasn't that long of a time ago where he was your guy. You thought he was your
right.
guy.
Right. I understand why we're trading him. We're drafting our next young quarterback. I get it, but I'm sad by it. And I would equate today as a very similar day. I get why they're doing it. The returns are enormous. I mean, to get two first-round picks for Sauce, to get a first and a second for Quinnen, I get it. I'm accepting it. I probably would have done it at the end of the day if I'm Darren Mooji.
Mm-hmm.
But do you not understand why celebrate is the word that I disagree with, why it's sad that here we are. This franchise hasn't made the playoffs since 2010.
Okay,
and it's sad that two young talents that they hit on in the draft, we have to trade because it makes the best plan. That's sad to me, Teak.
Yeah, but it's a necessary plan. It's a necessary step that most teams who have been so bad that you fire your head coach need to make. Not enough teams do it. And the teams that try, they end up getting lost a little bit. And their rosters never turn out the way that they want them to be. This is an opportunity. That's how I look at it for the Jets. This is an opportunity to put yourself in a position where you have a lot of great talent. Now, maybe this is the example that Aaron Glenn via Mooji is taking from Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions. Because look at how they built their team. It was through the draft. They drafted extraordinarily well, the Detroit Lions, over the last few years. And all of those guys have become ballers and playmakers for them. And so you have to give yourself a chance. You have to have a plan. And right now they're trying to fulfill that plan.
And I want you to listen to Aaron Glenn's answer, because he actually invoked something he had said earlier in this process about Jet fans being proud. Remember that whole thing?
Yes. The success. How do you clarify or quantify a successful season?
That is correct.
I want Jet fans to be proud.
So before we hear what he said months ago, let's hear what he said today when he was asked point blank, what do you tell Jet fans after the moves of yesterday?
Nothing different than I've been saying. Listen, I want this to be a team that the fans are proud of. But again, I never said that we're going to be proud of them right now. At some point, I want this to be a team that that the fans are proud of, and I still stick with that, you know. And I will still say that this is a team that the fans will be proud of. And I'm not going to get into the patience and all that type of crap that you always hear. But I will tell you this: our guys are working. We're going to continue to work. And again, I'm going to stand by that statement. I want this to be a team that the fans are proud of. So don't let go of the rope. You've heard me say that before.
Mm-hmm.
And just continue to watch us work.
So the thing that really jumped out at me is I never said this year.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, well, it was what the premise was.
The premise, in fact, you know what? Let's not even say a word, Tiki. We don't need to criticize Aaron Glenn. Let's hear Aaron Glenn's own answer in early September when he was asked point blank, what's a successful season for this year's New York Jets?
What to you would define a successful season?
What would define a successful season? I want to be a team to where the fans will look up and say, we're proud of that team. And if they say that, I'll be happy. I'll be happy because within that, I know that wins will come.
Aaron, if this was Meet the Press back in the day and I was the late, great Tim Russert, I'd play that for you and I'd say, Coach, you did specify this year. The question was this year. This guy has the balls to say, I never said that.
Well, here's what he's doing. He's kicking success down the line because he knows it's not achievable this year.
Right.
And so he's amending the expectation from this year to eventually. Now, let's hope that eventually is not 4 years from now. Hopefully eventually is end of this season, next season.
Tiki, that's fine. He on his own said,
I know.
I never said this year.
I agree. I can't defend him.
How do you say that?
You can't defend
it. You can't defend it.
Right.
See, people were upset at you and I that yesterday we laughed at the way Aaron Glenn had handled the media when it comes to the quarterback question, that it was almost a joke. And it was a joke. Stop being so sensitive. This pisses me off. Mm. This I'm going to be sensitive about because you're spitting in the air and telling me it's rain. Dude, we listen to what you say. We play the clips on the air. And so for everyone out there who didn't catch that, I want you to catch it. He said, I never said proud this year. We just played the clip. It was this year. The whole question was predicated on what makes this guy. I want to lose my mind. And it's so stupid. I admit it's so stupid. Because Aaron Glenn can so easily say, hey, things change, man. We gave it a try.
Right.
We didn't win games. This opportunity came along. I want you to be proud about something different. And that is, we have a plan. You could spin this so many different ways. And instead, he pulled a Francesa.
Yeah.
I never said that.
That's not what I meant.
You did say it. You couldn't have been more clear that you said it. So that kind of annoyed me.
Right.
I'm not going to lie. That's the one that really pisses me off.
If they win another game, you'll get over it because you'll start feeling proud of them.
I don't know. I don't know what would make me. Yeah, you're probably right. I want wins.
I know that's right.
They're so loaded with draft picks. It's like, yeah, they'll get their quarterback anyway. I want wins. Marvin's in Patchogue. What's up, Marvin?
Hey, what's up, J-E-T-S, Jets, man. I am so proud of these guys. They have been true since the beginning. Let me give you a timeline. They want winners. They want to know who's on board.
Yeah.
They started with Aaron Rodgers. He wasn't on board. Started with the interview. You come into an interview, you show you want to be on board. Aaron brought his ego. So they got rid of him in the circus. Then they said, as far as the timeline, what you just pointed out, they got rid of the punt returner. The players weren't listening. I couldn't recall his name. Aaron Glenn was not speaking to us as the fans, to the media. He was speaking to the players. Earn your spot on this roster. Earn your spot. They wasn't listening. He reminds me of Mike Singletary. I can't win with him.
But I don't want that comparison. He was a terrible head coach. I was with you until you said he reminds me of Mike Singletary.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I don't want that. By the way, Rick called up earlier this segment. You could rewind it if you're just tuning in. And he said, hey, you guys laughed at me when I said the Jets are going to trade Sauce Gardner. And we immediately, because of Tommy Lugauer's brain and Sean Morash's editing ability, we're able to go back and find that call. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's go back a little less than a month ago. Here is Rick's phone call to Evan and Tiki, where he claims he said Sauce Gardner will be traded. Let's go to Rick in Queens. What's up, Rick?
But you have to please tell me why Sauce Gardner is not no case you won't trade him. He pass interferes. He can't tackle anybody. Okay, he's always, at some point in time during the game, he's always going to take a little shot. He's going to get hurt. He's going to be on the sideline. So tell me. Tell me, why is he untouchable?
Well, first of all, nobody's untouchable. Mm-hmm. I made that very clear in our last segment where I would be open to anything. Yeah. I would just need to have it be grossly overpayment to trade them. Now, as far as why I would need an overpayment for Sauce Gardner, tell me when I'm telling lies, anything I'm about to say. If you rank all the cornerbacks in the NFL, is Sauce Gardner top 5, top 10?
Probably.
I think so.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, that doesn't mean he's number one.
I was just trying to think of the guys that are above him. And there's just not a ton of
guys. There's not a ton of guys.
Right.
So he is, as much as he's not Darrell Revis, and as much as he's not perfect, and as much as there is that one or two plays per game that may stick out at you and bother you, he is still one of the better cornerbacks in this league, despite us all saying horrible things about him. That's tough to replace.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough to replace. If you trade him for lottery tickets, and that's what draft picks are, you're probably going to use a top pick on a cornerback. And if that cornerback turns into Sauce Gardner, you know what you're going to say? We hit. Like, literally.
Yeah, I know.
So that's why I'm not gung-ho about, oh, I'll trade him. Give me a second-round pick. Let's call it a day. Like, what are you turning that into?
Right.
I feel very good about my answer, by the way.
That was a pretty good answer.
I think we both went out of this thing. Yes, he made a great point about why don't you trade him, but my retort is consistent. I said, no one's off limits. I got to get blown away. They got blown away. They got two first-round picks. So I give Rick some love, but honestly, the more I hear that, I want to give myself love because I think my answer was spot on.
Just remember, I could have omitted your response, but I felt it was very important.
Thank you, Sean.
Your response was good.
Thank you. Thank you.
It wasn't fully dismissive of Rick.
It wasn't at all, actually. He's wrong about that. We didn't dismiss him.
I think we went on further and talked about how so many people keep calling about Sauce and saying that he's not a good player. And he's a good player. He's just not, and he's not impactful. He's not turning the football over. You don't see him making devastating hits. He's too like lanky to be that kind of defensive back. He doesn't intercept the ball. He's got three in his career. So what is he? He's good, but what is he?
He's not what we thought he would be.
Yeah.
He's not Revis, and he's not a guy taken as high as he was selected. But I think what ended up happening, and this is where our last caller, I guess, could take his victory lap, but so can we. We never said no offhanded. Mm. We said they got to get blown away. And boy, I'd love to go back in time and say, hey guys, the Jets are going to get two number ones for him. We would have hung up on that caller. We would have said, you're nuts. I love Sauce. I think Sauce is really good. They're not getting two number ones for him. And they did. And I think it's a game changer, which is why it was conflicting yesterday. Like, he's a good player. You are going to need to replace him, even if they think AZ Thomas can replace him right now, who looked good last week and is a rookie and is cheap. But they got so much back. It's kind of crazy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.